It's funny, I've been going back to all the older shows. So I've gone as far back as the very first video show. And just, I hopscotch back and forth from an old show to a recent show. Back and forth, back and forth. There's such a difference between the old shows and the new shows, how it's progressed much better.
So one biggest takeaway, what do you notice?
I would say there's a more relaxed feeling on the newer shows. I would say like that happened quickly. I would say that happened quickly though. But in the first ones, I think we're all just trying to get our feet wet. We're trying to figure out what to do. And I think you can quickly see that it's really about the conversation. That's what I like about it. I think that, and I don't want to boast about this particular show or even all these new segments that we're working on and all kinds of stuff. I just think that we're so focused on helping. Simple as that. So, you know, I still have this mindset of at least one person's listening, then it's worth doing. As crazy as it sounds, right? Yeah. That was always the mandate from day one. If there's one person listening, right? And it's refreshing. You know, I had a conversation with you not too long ago where I was just like, there's a lot of times that I'm doing the show or I'm doing all kinds of stuff that are associated with the show. And as we think about entrepreneurship and we think about what we want to try to create, you start thinking, what's the point? Like, what's all this effort and all this other shit, right? And then you'll have those moments. It doesn't matter how focused you want to try to be, right? You'll have these moments where you're just like, what is really the fucking point of me doing this? Like, I really don't understand why I'm doing this. I'm always hitting a wall. I'm always hitting a wall. And I'm always being told, not necessarily directly, verbally, no. But I feel like I'm being told no, right? And then out of the blue, I'll get a text message or I'll get a DM. And that person will say, I just heard that recent show, a show I wouldn't think I would associate with that person connected with.
That's beautiful.
And I like that. So it's like the TNT shows, Teresa's show, you know, the first one that she did, they're connecting with tradespeople. I don't care about, you know, in the early days when I was doing the show and I started veering off and we wanted to do more mental health shows, we wanted to actually talk about the tradesperson and what they're going through. You had some certain people that were like, here's the genre. I'm following a construction podcast. I only want to fucking hear construction talk. I'm sorry, but there's a person behind the construction talk.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to the person, right? So that's why I think in my mind, TNT is a success. It's always going to be a success for that reason, right? So that's why here we are again, Jonathan. Like we're talking about another show where we're going to talk about what do you want? You want to tackle... There's a lot of stuff going on. There's constantly a lot of stuff going on. And there is some positivity going on with certain tradespeople. But a lot of people are reaching out to me. I'm sure they're reaching out to you on life sucks, man. Just sucks, right? It just sucks. And then I just wanted to share a quick quote that I came across here on social media from at Michelle C. Clark. She just said, take that break. Take that nap. Take that trip. Take what you need because this world will take everything from you. And if you don't take care of yourself.
Yeah,
it's true. Everyone, especially tradesmen, the masculine driving force behind them is like this whole provide 100% constant provide family, significant other, business, suppliers, everybody just provide. But never in that equation is them. That's the problem we have right now. Right. Where do you want to begin now?
I think right there. I think that you've touched on something that strikes a nerve with me is as a man, the way that society has conditioned us with presuppositions and transfers and everything we've brought forward from our own childhoods. It's as a man, it's be the protector, be the provider. And if you're not, you're less than. And then it weighs down. And guess what? Then there's an armoring up that occurs. It's like, holy shit, what's wrong with me?
It's always that question.
What's wrong with me? Why is he or she succeeding and I'm over here and I'm not able to provide for my... And then it just spirals out of control. And this is actually interesting. I found myself... I'm going to pivot right into this because I found myself at a stag on Friday that I shared with you and I'll share with the audience out there. Beautiful stag, right? You know, happy. It's a great fundraiser for the individual. 500 folks. Huge, huge, huge Italian background. And it's been a while since I've been to a stag that size. And I reconnected with some friends that I hadn't seen for a while, and it was an honor and a pleasure. And this actually sort of came up, and it started around, you know, leadership. I was talking to a gentleman, and, you know, he's a professional construction leader. He's leading a couple of different sites, great teams. And I start asking questions, my curiosity questions on the workforce, some of his pain points, some of his challenges, some of his leadership styles. And he's an exceptional leader that's been doing this for 25 years, right? And
what makes him an exceptional leader?
So he demonstrates a level of empathy that most don't have.
Okay.
He demonstrates a level of self-awareness that is often dismissed. So he was sharing some stories with me. And I said, well, how do you know what goes through this guy's head? Or, you know, I've asked him questions. He's like, well, he's like, first I ask questions. He says, and then sometimes I reflect upon myself and say, what did I do to cause that to occur? So he has the self-awareness to look internally and then take that externally.
His first thought process is to think that if there's something wrong with one of his employees, that he had a cause of that?
No. If something didn't go as planned, the way he communicated.
Oh, so then he takes some accountability for it.
Absolutely. He's saying, what did I not do to have this outcome occur? What did I not do to realize that this gentleman needed a little bit of support?
That's not the norm. You know that, Jonathan.
No, and he talked about... you know, taking a temperature reading on, if a guy's not performing, he'll check in and say, dude, go home. Mm-hmm. Go home. Seriously, take the day. We'll pay you anyways. Go home. So, I mean,
and what if home's part of the problem?
Well, that's an interesting conversation. That's an interesting conversation.
Because I think there's a direct connection between the job site and the home. And if there's something going on at home, there's something going on the job site and vice versa, right? So I just wondering, like, I mean, I guess, yeah.
This is interesting because he brought this up, and this is a part that I challenged a little bit. He said, well, I asked the guys to leave work at work and home at home. And I challenged, I said, I get that you say that. What if I became curious and challenged you and said that it all intertwines? Because if I'm doing a mundane routine task, in this case electrical, and this, you know, if this gentleman's roughing in a suite is the same process over and over. But what happens is you get distracted because you're thinking, holy shit, my wife just yelled at me. How am I going to pivot past this? And as I was having this conversation, you know, I said, and his name is John. I said, John, what happens then is then we become distracted. And that's when injuries occur.
Yeah.
Because we get this shit, I just sliced my hand on a steel stud or worse or whatever. Because... it's because we're one human being. There's not a work version of Jonathan and a personal version of Jonathan. There are times where that gets amplified, yet holistically we show up the same way. So this conversation, it was beautiful and it pivoted. So I asked him a couple of great questions along the way, but one thing that really surfaced for me was that, well, I acknowledged him. I said, it takes a shitload of energy, commitment and resource, and you said you're a great human being for leading the way you do, and I wholeheartedly mean that. And then I simply asked him, like, what do you do? He said, what do you mean? I said, what do you do to look after you? Like, you're like a sponge, man. I said, you're taking in all this energy. You're taking in everybody's energy on this job site. You get in your truck, and you just like, what happens next? Do you listen to music? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you listen to nothing? Like, you need time to decompress. He goes, well, sometimes nothing, right? He's like, I use that time.
So he's aware that something's wrong, but he doesn't do anything about it.
Well, yes and no. I say yes and no because he realizes the amount of energy it takes. And sort of he really, truthfully, he just chalked it up as like, that's who I am. That's part of my job. I said, I get that, man. Except if you only have so much to give. And if you're half empty, then what? I said, if you're not whole and complete, this is, you know, Teresa's language and I love it. If your cup's not overflowing, how can you give away what you don't already have?
Yeah.
And then the conversation shifted. It was like something resonated and it pivoted. And then I understood. And from there, we got into some real conversations about some of the challenges he's having, both, you know, personally, professionally, at home. Some of the challenges he's having, even with his wife, right, who's going through her own shit. And then like, he's got to carry that. And then this is where I don't think the world realizes, right? This gentleman, me, it doesn't matter. We all carrying shit. And then, you know, it's got to show up to work like a rock star every single day and say, okay, team, let's get our asses in gear and make this job great. And then he's going to report to all these people. And that's fucking heavy, man.
It's a performance.
It's a performance.
I want to get a sense of his situation. So how old is he? He's married. How long has he been married? How many children? How long has he been in construction? Like things like that. I want to try.
Great question. Some details I know, some I don't. In construction, almost 3 decades. Okay. Age, early to mid 40s. Okay. Children, 4 of them.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Married, I'm going to guess a decade plus, 50, okay. probably 10 or 15 years.
So he's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
He's got a lot on his plate, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. When they show up, and there's been plenty of times that you get on the job site and before you exit that vehicle, you're like thinking, there is so much shit going on in my life right now. But then as soon as you step out of that vehicle and you get on the job site, it's good morning, good morning, good morning. And that good morning has to ramp up, with full positivity. Otherwise, the crew will sense it. And then they'll wonder what's really going on, right? What's happening? Everyone senses it when there's something going on job site. If you've got a well-connected crew, you know one of the nuts are a little loose. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. So then you have to perform as the GC, especially because you're doing the job and you're dealing with navigating with the client. You got to pretend that everything's fine, so then they don't get wind of it, and they you get the fool out of them.
Yeah, because if they get wind of it, then you know, the next thing that historically happens, he's weak. He can't do the. I need somebody else.
Yeah,
Jonathan's got too much shit happening at home. He can't do this job.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a dismissal factor rather than a digging in. And forming a bond to come together, which.
It's sad to know that the stats are still rising, like mental health and men's mental health and the suicide and depression and divorce, separation, like all this shit is on the rise. We're not even plateauing. We're not even regression. Like, I don't. Why? Why do you think that is? It still reverts back to the whole, you're a man, suck it up.
Yeah. You know, and I have some biases that hit me. I think that we're in a, and some are not going to like this. I'm going to say it anyway. I think we're in a soft society, right? We don't understand our children. And I have 2 young children, and I coached athletes this year, and I don't think they understand the importance of struggle, right? And the resilience that comes after the struggle, because after the struggle is where the growth emerges. And so because we don't have that, and we can unpack that if we choose to, but then what happens is our brains are conditioned to stay safe. So how do we stay safe? We check out.
Yeah, we check out and we go back.
Well, shit, if this isn't working,
yeah,
then I can get out of this relationship. And I go find somebody else who's going to serve me better. Whoa.
Let me ask you, Jonathan, let's see if we could try to figure this out. What were the struggles for a man in the 70s? And you know where I'm going with this. Is like, what was the struggle for a man in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and today? Because I agree with you. Today's society, for the most part, is a bunch. Like, I'll take Dana White's words. They're a bunch of pussies.
Sure.
Like, this generation is a bunch of pussies, right? They just don't want to deal with any struggle whatsoever. They want everything to just align perfectly. But you don't grow. You
don't grow.
You never grow. So I can only assume in the 70s it was really hard if you were an immigrant, you're coming up, and you obviously got bullied if you're an immigrant. Doesn't matter if you just came here and you're in a school system. You're still bullied if you were not that background.
Yeah.
And then when you got a job, you were bullied. Like, we were constantly being bullied, and then you were being paid shit. Like, I mean, I'm 52, and I remember getting my first job at 13, and you're getting paid $3.25 an hour. That's a huge amount of money for me at that time, right? $3.25 an hour. And you're still being bullied, right? So, like, what were the men in the past struggling with versus what are the men struggling with today?
I know what I know. And I think that the struggles, there are similarities across the board. When you talk about the 70s, what's interesting, again, predates me, except the history that I know suggests that in the 70s, when you're working as an immigrant, you're really grateful to be working.
Yeah.
And you're really really proud.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a construction and proud. And you're doing it. And there's an understanding across the board at home within the family that you're the sole provider and you're the protector, and sort of that, that allows things to occur. I think what happens along the way, and again, to keep it super succinct for me, is that as technology has advanced, technology has made life a little bit easier, right? It's added stresses in different ways. It stresses that if you think of the stressors that we deal with today, the sort of the gossipy shit that, oh my God, this person said this or did this, it's not a struggle. But to us, it's the end of the world. Whereas in the 70s or before that, a struggle is like, I got hurt, I can't fucking work. If you can't work, it's game over. So as society sort of shifted, evolved, technology comes into play, every parent does what every parent does, which is, how can I provide more for my children than I had? And that evolution occurs to today, look at where we are today. Really, really different. When you can step in, you talk to a bunch of even 18-year-olds. I talked to my nephew this morning, Mateo, and perhaps one day he'll be in here. Went to Texas for 3 months to a firefighting course, 20 years old.
Okay.
Hardest experience. Hardest thing he's ever done. I asked him this morning, first time I've talked to him in depth since he got back, which was last week, and I said, what do you know today that you didn't know? What do you take away from Texas? He goes, Zio, if I knew what I was getting into, I wouldn't have gone. Mm. What? He goes, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. Such a struggle.
But he accomplished it.
But he accomplished it. And so this is where we went to. I said, Mateo, after the struggle is where the growth emerges. So see, 20 years old, and I love these kids to death, except that we're conditioned, the struggle is not there. So I think I fast-forwarded your question, but there was, there's the 70s is the appreciation of the job.
I agree with you on that. And I remember, I don't know if this happened to you, but I remember being a kid and my dad would get his coworkers and we would all converge on someone's house to work on something on the weekend to achieve a task, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like you left it to one tradesperson to take care of the work, the scope. You actually spoke to everybody else that was on the crew. And as you were just talking about how the difference between 70s or back then and now tradespeople and how they were very proud to do the work, I vividly remember my dad and his coworkers, his friends, excited to do the work and all smiles. You know, sure, there was beer. Sure, there was wine. Sure, there was lots of cigarette smoking.
Of course.
Sure, there was all those kinds of things, but there was lots of smiles. And then when the thing is, I only see the smiles on the crews of tradespeople today when the camera's rolling.
Yeah.
I don't see the smiles because I walk by job sites because this is Toronto. There's a shitload of job sites everywhere. But when I see a cluster of tradespeople leaving that job site for the day, no smiles. So have they lost the pride in the work, or are they just not happy? Are they fighting their own demons? But I really remember that between my dad, and this is like the 80s, we're talking about 80s and 90s. You got together, you worked together. The wives were making all the food.
Yes.
Everybody was getting prepared. There was plenty of bread and cheese. There was the alcohol was there, but the work was being performed.
Yes.
And everybody was joking around. Everybody was razzing each other. And then guess what? At the end of the day, all the work that was needed to be done got done until the next weekend that you belong at another person's house and then you did that work. But that's not happening.
And there was no, oh my God, it's 8 hours, we're done. It was like, no, man. We're
here for the day. It
got done. If it was dark at night, then make the pasta and we're going to sit down and eat a bowl of pasta together.
Lights came out. Like it just,
it got done.
It got done, right? But what I remember is the happiness attached to the, it got done, right? And they never looked at it like a struggle. They never looked at it like a chore. They didn't. And you're right. Today, I think they look at it as a chore. I don't want to achieve that. But if your nephew never did that, I'm sure he's already thinking about what the next challenge is going to be for him because he's accomplished that.
He said it to me this morning. He's like, look, now I've accomplished this in 3 months, the hardest thing ever. And everything else seems easy.
3 months is a blink of an eye. So now you can figure out what else is next and then to do it.
But here's what showed up when you talk about that moment, because I have those vivid memories too of the superstar that coming out, the pasta, you want a beer, you know, cigarette smoke was everywhere. It's just what it was. But so, you know, you ask a question of like, what do I think has changed? One thing that I vividly remember is when it's break time or lunchtime, we're all sitting on top of a bucket or a coil, and everybody's got their coolers, and you know, that's that. I just vivid that that little white cooler with the green lid. Yep. And you guys kind of open the lid, and like, what do you got? What do you? And everybody's making fun of everybody, or you know, the fucking Italian over here, this guy here, this guy here. We don't. So there's a disconnect right now. What happens at break time? First of all, people are scattered.
Everyone goes to their ways,
and they pick up their device. So there's no like that shooting the shit. There's no, oh, Jonathan eats, you know, two meatball sandwiches and this guy eats this and this. And there's none of that. Everybody's kind of just like, if I can I stay isolated and hide out? And, oh, is it 15 minutes? Is it 30 minutes? Like, to me, that's a big difference because the connection is lost. And when that connection is lost, I don't have trust to say, Manny, this is what's going on. Manny, can you give me a lift home tonight? Because, you know, my wife took the car. I don't know.
There is, I would blame a lot to the technology, and it's funny. So every day for the last few years, I walk early in the morning and I walk late in the evening after dinner, right? I'm trying to get back to this European mentality. Like when you travel to Europe, you have a meal and you go for a walk. You can have a dessert while you're walking. You can have a coffee while you're walking. The thing is that you're walking. You're just walking and you're saying hello to smiles, sure. Right? And so I get a little frustrated because I don't walk with my dogs anymore because I don't have my dogs, but I see other people walking their dogs and they're on their devices. Mm. And then I remember recently there was this woman, she was walking and she stopped. She just stopped. And the lead just started going on and on with the dog because the dog was doing what a dog does, right? And she was just engrossed in this device while the dog is trying to get further, like try to go continuously on the walk. And as I'm crossing the intersection, I'm just like, I was tempted to yell at this woman going, man, put that shit down and pay attention to the dog. Because the dog was just trying to go forward. They just wanted to go discover something new. That's what dogs do. Meanwhile, she's stuck on this device trying to respond to a comment or respond to a text or respond to it. And I'm like, that shit ain't that important. I don't care. Because if it's life-threatening, you wouldn't be walking your dog. So it is literally a distraction, simple as that. And your dog is there, go discover. So I agree with you. Like today, you have a break. Everyone goes and Uber, restaurant, pick up food, device, smoke break. But there's nothing, nobody's connecting with each other when they should be.
Yeah. Listen, you said it earlier, I think it was this week or last week, about social media, and you were quite succinct. Get off social media and start saying hello to people. Connect with, that's where the work is.
Yeah.
Face-to-face connections. That's what's lost, the face-to-face connections. Because when you trust somebody, that's the currency. Everything else becomes organic after that.
So how are you, I know that I told you off, Mike, that I'm not wishing this, but I definitely am going to see a huge increase in divorces, separations. The economical times are going to dictate that that's where we go down. And society, you can argue with me all you want, doesn't matter, but the man loses in society when there's a separation.
Yeah.
Simple as that. We've heard it so many times. I've spoken to so many people. They work 7 days a week. They're trying to provide. They're trying to save a deposit. They're trying to get a house. They're trying to get a wedding ring. They're trying to get money for a wedding. They're trying to get all this other stuff. Meanwhile, they're neglecting their significant other. And then their thoughts go elsewhere, which means that I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. So there's this whole cause and effect, because right now there's a rash on social media of a lot of tradespeople promoting themselves. And I know that they have to do that. And I'm trying to help where I can. So I will repost whenever I see it, I will repost. And it's just ironic because I was getting so irritated by Shaker and everyone's posting all these pictures of their Shaker kitchens and I was just can't stand Shaker and everyone knows that I can't stand Shaker. And I was going to do a Manny Monday about how anybody tagged me in a Shaker fucking post, I'm not reposting it. I don't give a shit. But now helping out other tradespeople is far more important than my ego attached to Shaker and the loss of love for Shaker. So I will repost anybody. And I've had lots of people reach out to me going, how do I get you to repost my stuff? I go, dude, you just did. You just ask. That's as simple as that, right? And then I'll repost. Right? Whether you get irritated by me wanting to share other people's work and they're looking for work, I don't give a fuck. If that person gets one lead, it helps them out. But I bring this up because the economical strain that's going on right now is going to be directly connected to the separation, to the divorces, to all that shit. And most men, most tradesmen won't know how to handle it because they've never discussed it with anybody. They haven't asked another coworker.
No.
They haven't reached out to a therapist. They don't, they're not a part of listening to podcasts that are geared towards that subject matter. So then the way their minds work, I can't solve this problem. So what do? I do nothing. And then before you know it, she's knocking on the door and here's the manila envelope and here's what the lawyer is saying.
Yep. And this guy's suffering alone.
Yeah.
You know, for me, what shows up is there's, first of all, we have to understand there's fundamental physiological and psychological differences between men and women and how they're wired, right?
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, women, this is more times than not, there's always exceptions, but it's, they want to be seen, heard, and understood.
Yeah.
Right? And when they say something, it's what's their ask? More times than not, when a woman says something, dig for what's there, because the ask is very different. If she says something, what's she really asking? Like, you know, hey, I have a doctor's appointment. Do you want to come with me? To me, that's a question. But the ask is, I'd like you to come with me. Can you make time to come? That's what the ask is. Sometimes we because men are very straightforward, tell me what you want and I'm pragmatic, I'll solve it. There's a disconnect that occurs there. And then there's a disconnect between how men are wired that some women don't always understand. And men are fundamentally validation, respect, and appreciation.
Yeah.
Validate me. I see you, like I appreciate you. I appreciate the work you're doing. I respect what you say. I respect, because that's what happens too, is there's a tug of war for respect, especially inside the household. Historically, a man would say something and, you know, he was deemed as head of the household many decades ago,
yeah.
Right? And that's the way it was. Now, there's a tug of war that occurs that just because the provider, the man, says something, there's a tug of war that occurs and the woman's like, well, no. So the respect is diminished.
There's the tug of war because things are not happening the way they used to happen.
Right.
So then she's taking the lead on that. And now she's solving these things on her own, which starts to question, well, why do I need this person around then if they're not taking care of those things?
Yep.
It's as simple as that, right? It's easy for us. Trust me. It is extremely easy for us. It's a shoemaker argument. It's really like you go to work and you provide your skills for a living, and the things that tradespeople accomplish are insane. You erect structures, you make them safe and sound, you intricate tile, trim, all kinds of details. You do all this stuff for complete strangers, and then you neglect your own property. And the problem is that you're not there for those 8 to 10 hours, maybe even longer, 5, 6, sometimes 7 days a week, but other people are there, whether they're their family, the children, friends that come and visit, you know, family get-togethers, and everything's still in disarray. It compounds. It totally compounds. And I would start suggesting that a lot of these tradesmen that are maybe getting a sense of this, just fucking take the hour or two and take care of something around the house. Whether that's like fucking pruning bushes or something, or fixing a deck board or something. Just something. Just take care of that shit. I know it's hard to find the time to do it because you're being pressed by work to get this done, to get to the next job, because you can't get paid until the next job starts. I get all that shit. But if there's a way that you can find, carve an hour or two in each day, do that.
Yeah. I mean,
it would help.
Well, and if not now, when? And if not you, who? So look, we, for those that live and die by our calendars, literally put in your calendars, like even if it's one day a week. Maintenance, I don't know, routine, something, right? And I want to clarify something. I want to be clear is that I'm not looking back at the past saying, oh, the good old days. I'm saying it was different. I'm saying I appreciate, I'm a huge fan, is the only word that comes to mind, of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of evolution. I'm saying is that what's happening as the evolution's occurring between men and women in relationships, where we need to close the gap a little bit is that conversation piece in between. Because, you know, the man is evolving differently. The woman is evolving differently. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I'm not the same person I was last week. It's true. Like, it's, I mean, no, look, no, we everybody, evolve. Everybody,
if you don't evolve, I don't know, you and I won't get along. It's as simple as that. You have to start figuring out, okay, what is the next step?
Yeah.
Right? I had this crazy idea in my early days of social media. I was trying to start this stupid business because I was the only one in my circle of those friends at the time. This is a long time ago, like 15 years ago, right? I was the only one in the circle of friends that knew how to build something.
Okay.
Everybody else had different careers, right? So then I came up with this idea and I called it 6 degrees of construction.
Okay.
Right? And I basically, I still needed help with what they could provide. So I started looking at the circle there and I was like, okay, fine. So you're a computer person. Okay, fine. You're a business person. Okay, fine. I'm the contractor, right? So I know a thing or two. So I just started saying, why don't we start this club called 6 degrees of construction? And every weekend, it was six of us, I think. And that's why it was all this whole six things, Kevin Bacon, shit like that. And all of a sudden I said, why don't the five of us go to the six person's house and you have us for the day?
Okay, cool.
And we contribute, taking care of a task. The next weekend, you did the exact same thing for somebody else's house.
So whatever I had to get done, got done. Cool.
So you had the time the week to come up with, what the fuck do I need done around the house here? Like, what is it that I need done? And then all six of us would be there doing this stuff. And then by the end of it, you'd be like, we just went through 6 weeks, six weekends. We just accomplished a shitload. And it would continue on and on and on and on, right? And the problem was that the guys that were not construction related couldn't set the time up to do it. They were too swamped with work. I was ready to go. Like, I wanted to get done and get this stuff done. But then I started saying, okay, listen, I got to start planning for this. I'm going to need a second body, third body, fourth body. I got to do, my tasks were becoming bigger to the point where I needed the physicality behind the people, right? And they couldn't commit to being the contributor.
Got it.
They wanted to receive it, but they couldn't commit to be a contributor. And I was like, well, that's not how this is not going to work. Like, everybody has to put their ego aside and everybody has to contribute. Otherwise, it doesn't work. But I could see that. Like, if you reach out to five other tradespeople, and then what do you need done around your house?
That's a cool idea.
Right? And then you get these tasks taken care of. Everyone comes for that one day, and we get all this shit taken care of. Rebuild the shed, rebuild the deck, whatever it is, right? You get it. You have a full day with a crew of people. And in construction, can you imagine the amount of work that you would get done in one day? You may not finish depending on the size of the scope, right? The task at hand, but you would get a shitload done, which would drive you past the midway point, which drives you to finish it. And then you would get it done. Why don't we start a lot of things? We don't start a lot of things because we look at it like there's a lot to fucking do.
It's daunting, yeah.
Yeah. I don't even want to start it because I know it's going to take a while to finish it. But that's life.
So now I become curious. I love that idea. And my brain goes to, so you're structured and organized. What happens when you come across a guy who's not, you know, okay, we got to work on a shed. Well, that means you need ladders, you need drills, you need saws, you need stuff. Because there's sometimes you get there and it's like,
dude, well, you have the week to plan this shit.
You have the week. I'm curious. Is the skill set gap not there to plan it, or the time and energy and resources? I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just looking for.
I know, but tradespeople in general, they do this.
True.
Like, even if you're on the high rise construction, while you're working Monday to Friday, you're picking each other's brain.
Yeah, you know what you're gonna need.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, like, I did this as a GC all the time. Whenever I saw the professional trades there on site, I'd be like, okay, so if I were to do this, how would I handle that? What do I need material-wise and all that? You're picking their brain. So then you have the 5 days to plan this shit. But I think that if everyone started these little 6 degrees of construction circles, I just look at it like the amount of fucking shit that would get down in everybody's personal place.
Okay. So what's your thoughts on commitment levels now?
You got to give up the whole day. Simple as that. You have to set aside that day as if it's fucking Euro Cup. Like, you're just like, everyone's committed to
there's
that.
There's a great right? reference point. How come for soccer we can compartmentalize?
Because their argument is it's only every 4 years. Well, technically it's only every 2 years now when you start separating World and Euro Cup. The thing is, you do it. Why do you do it? Because I swear I'm not a football. I don't follow sports. I never got into it. But I'm pretty sure that 100% of the reason why people follow sports, especially men, is because of the community that they're in.
Yes.
And what they're talking. So if you created this 6 degrees of construction, you're in that community. You're talking to other people and you're getting something built. And you're having food prepared and you're everyone's planning this shit. It becomes an event at that point.
But, and you see, there's a pride factor too. If somebody's coming to my house, okay, I got 6 guys coming to my house today. Here's the task. It's going to be all organized. You know, the coffee machine's going to be on. You know, okay, you know, barbecue's going to be lit at this point. And guess what? That's where the connection occurs, where the laughs occur. That's where just everything happens, right? Okay, the beer's cold already. I got to go get a case of beer, make sure it's cold.
Everyone can show up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning with everything already, and you start putting it on ice. It gets going that way. If the task is greater than a day's worth of work, then you as the individual that's receiving the gratitude from everybody else, you look at it like, guess what, guys? I'll see you in 6 weeks because you're going to be back at this place in 6 weeks. And that's how it could totally fucking work. Like, you'll get so much done. And then plus, you'll be providing for your own family. You'll get shit done. So you'll be taking care of that list of stuff that needs to get done. You'll be reconnecting on a personal level. Because now you're at a person's home and now you're talking as friends. You're not talking as coworkers, right? So then I think there's a deep connection there more so than on the job site.
This is beautiful. Like, look at the layers. So when somebody comes to your home, there's a trust factor. You're going to bring certain people to your home. And then it's like you're checking the box of getting a task done. If you have children, they're seeing this. Maybe they're engaging in it. Maybe they're not. If you have a partner,
all the trades people who bring their kids over and the kids can have a play day
there you go,
on their own, right? While you're doing the work.
And the partners in the relationship are seeing, okay, so, you know, Jonathan heard me over the time saying that we got to fix this, get this done. So he couldn't do it himself. He's pulled in the right guys to do it.
Does the younger generation... Okay, I know about family get-togethers. We always did family get-togethers, and you'd have everybody there. But does the younger generation today, because I don't see it, does the younger generation today get together amongst themselves?
Define, what age gap are you talking about?
What do we do in Europe? Having a get-together and a dinner meet,
yeah,
is an event.
Yeah.
It could be Monday. It could be Wednesday. It could be any fucking day of the week. It could be any month of the year. It's just dinner with friends sitting down. In Europe, it's mostly old and young, not necessarily all family. But I find that in North American culture, it's only family events that attract that. But I don't think of anybody that's actually just like, Jonathan, bring the wife over, sit down, and then bring so-and-so, and just complete... Not necessarily strangers, but friends in waiting, getting together and just sitting down and just shooting the shit.
I don't think it happens.
It doesn't happen.
And it certainly doesn't happen on the whim, right? Like, you go to Europe and you see somebody, hey, come over. And all of a sudden, they're at your home, right? Oh, I saw so-and-so. And you haven't seen this person for 10 years. You know what they say to you? Come over.
Sit down.
Here?
Sit down.
Right?
Sit down, have a drink. We're making this. Right. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. I think there needs to be a reconnection on a bunch of shit that. And I bring all this up because I definitely think it will help avoid separations. It will help having all these problems in your personal life, which are carried over to the work life, which are going to just compound at that point. You know, hopefully it works really well. Maybe it doesn't. But at least you have some great memories. Put the fucking phones down. Nobody has a phone anywhere near them. If you're coming over to do work, or you're coming over to have dinner, or you're coming over to just hang out or whatever, the phone should never be around. Who gives a shit? I think a lot of people revert to conversations about, did you see this post? No. Like, who gives a fuck? Why don't we just shoot the shit? It was great to see Steve recently, a friend of mine, who's also, I've been having a number of conversations about him picking up and leaving Canada. He wants to just go to Portugal, right?
Sure.
And he just like did a post where he shared it and he spray painted it outline. He goes, fire pit. Next picture, fire pit complete. Wood inside already burning. Nature's fucking social media right there. You just sit around, beer in hand, as many chairs as you can, and fill those chairs with people. And then have conversations.
Yeah, and you bring up fire. There's look at the things that there are certain things that really humble human beings. Doesn't, I don't care who you are, it's fire and water.
Yeah.
You sit around a fire.
You hear water.
You're staring. You talk about fire, but you stare into a fire pit and something just happens with your mind. And then all of a sudden.
You remember the 80s where they started putting fire on TV?
The fireplace channel.
I was like, that was the dumbest thing ever. Couldn't smell it. You could hear it, but it didn't have the reverb of a natural fire. And you couldn't smell it. It's like you couldn't have any, you know, flints fly out. Like it wasn't, I didn't like it. I was like, it's fake. Well, it's back to social media.
Yeah.
Right? Just go outside and do it. Oh, it's illegal. Your neighbor's going to complain. Go outside and fucking do it. Simple as that. Because what's it going to do for your soul? That's far more important than a caring neighbor complaining that you shouldn't really have that going on right now. That's a risk. I go, there's a hose right there. We have competent adults right here. If anything gets out of hand, we can put this out within seconds. No problem.
Yeah, but see, it's interesting. Like the armor goes up right away.
It's not that, Peterson brought up a really good point about the pandemic, how, everyone started connecting it to World War II. And he said over 30% of people were more than happy to tell on their neighbors during the pandemic. If anybody was having fun, they would call the authorities and tell on their neighbors.
Mm.
Just shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? And I tell you, if you started some sort of 6 degrees of construction club, you'd have a bunch of people doing the exact same thing. And all of a sudden, you'd have really well-meaning conversations between individuals. You know what I mean? You're probably going to stimulate each other. You're probably going to challenge each other. But in the end, I think what's really unique about tradespeople, the objective at hand. So when you're calling these people to come over, I need to build a treehouse for my kids.
Yeah.
Here's a sketch I did. And then if you get a really well-established tradesperson, here's the 3D model that I did, and then start sending that to everybody. You know what I mean? So everybody has the objective in their hands. So then even if you start having really heated conversations between each other, both of you or all of you will easily say, and all of you will respect it, shut the fuck up. Let's focus on the treehouse.
Yeah.
And then you'll respect that. And you'll go, yeah, you're right. Let's focus on the treehouse because the kids are waiting.
And the other thing that shows up is when you talk about that is you're stimulating an opportunity to provide, if welcome, to say, can I share a thought with you? How about we augment the treehouse and make it like this? And you ask, hey, Jimmy, you ever wanted to, swing up to your treehouse? Yeah. Who knows, right?
Yeah. Because
we've got some highly skilled folks out there that creativity gets suppressed. Why? For so many different reasons in life.
I'm telling you, there's something there. And if you're not already doing it, I only assume that there probably is somebody doing it. But, I mean, we're used to on the job site, I was always doing this, and I didn't give a shit about the Ministry of Labor. There was always beer on a Friday afternoon, especially in the summer months. There was always a cooler of beer ready to rock and roll. And I didn't give a shit about it, right? At the end of the workday, when we're all done, let's have a beer. We're not handling power tools. We're not walking around the job site. We're not drunk. We're just having a sud with a friend. Simple as that, right? And so, yeah, it goes against the laws of today regarding job sites and shit like that, but I didn't give a shit at that point.
There's time and space to do it. I mean,
totally.
Maybe it's a coffee. I don't know. Maybe it's a beer. I don't know. Like, whatever the flavor is. Everybody's on to sort of different.
No, everybody can be different though, right?
Right? Like, just hang out.
I used to do this thing with Mississauga Hardware. Fuck, I haven't done it in a few years, but I should do it again. I start continuing doing it. I was always beer claws. Santa Claus, beer claws. So I would bring as much beer as I possibly could to Mississauga Hardware just for the holiday week, right? And the thing is, though, I never brought domestic beer.
Okay.
Like, I was just always explain. Like, the first year I did it, I brought it to them. They're like, Manny, I'm a Bud guy. I'm a Coors guy. I go, I don't give a fuck what you are. Here's the cases of beer. And I did it on purpose because, like myself, that's how you discover Red Stripe. That's how you discover Tisky. Yeah. That's how you discover 1640. All these beers, different beers. That's how I discovered Guinness. You start hiring Irish guys. You discover Guinness and you start like craving Guinness. Like I love Guinness on a hot summer day. So I would always bring every beer, but domestic beer. I didn't give a shit. And then they'd be like, what's this one from? I go, just have it. Try it out. Cool it down on a party one weekend or whatever and experience that beer and enjoy it. That's all it was about. That was really what it was all about. I don't think people here, they do this. They don't appreciate that they're missing these opportunities. I think that everyone just goes inside their box. They go from their truck, their van, whatever their work vehicle is. They drive to their job site. They get into the condo, the house. They frame it. Then they work all day, get out, go back into their box, and then go back home to their box. And everyone's in their own mindset, right?
So what do you think leads to that? Why do it that way, folks?
Their life is not going down the path that, first of all, they never planned.
What do you mean?
You want to get something done, Jonathan, what do?
Plan it.
Structure. How many people plan their life?
Ooh.
Everybody is mostly reacting to their life.
Got it.
Right? And I think you get into a grind where it's like, I've got a safe, stable trade job. I'm making X amount. In 6 months, in 1 year, I'll get a raise or whatever it is. I'm making X amount. Significant other, they're making X amount. This is what we owe monthly. This is what we can expend. Everybody gets into these, it's like these lines, man, these Tesseract kind of lines, right? They just get stuck in that. So it's like they wake up, I've got to go feed that line today. And I think that if they stopped, and that's why it's refreshing to hear, like even off mic, you were telling me about the guy there. It's refreshing to hear that people just said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm moving. Steve and I talking about Portugal, and I talk to Larry all the time about Portugal as well too. And I'm like, I'm looking at them seriously. Like this is something that's going to happen. I know it, right? Like I like meeting people that when you look into their eyes, they're serious about what they're going to achieve. Right? I think anybody who's met me from the day I started this podcast to today, the look on my face is exactly the same.
Mm.
I never knew what my final number was until recently, but I always knew that that number was going to be a big number at the very start of this thing. It was never going to be like 10 shows, 20 shows or whatever. No, I didn't give a fuck about that because I knew there was more conversations to be recorded. So I think that a lot of people get into this situation because they don't plan and they react. If you start to plan and you be more proactive, then when you wake up, the life that you want is going to be right ahead of you.
May I add something to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm a planner. Everything in life for me is structured and planned. And that's cool. And sometimes it's at a detriment too, because what it does is it suppresses a little bit of spontaneity. It suppresses the ability to surrender to some things. And what I mean by that is sometimes there's also the understanding of like surrendering to the opportunity of, you know, Manny asked me to go have a beer after work today rather than no, because I have to rush here. Yeah, man, I got about half an hour. I'll have a beer with you. It's surrendering to the opportunities that life, yeah, universe, God, whatever you want to believe in, presents to you, because you don't know where that's going to lead one day. Now we hear that, but what I want to encourage is that actually reflect back, even 6 months. I thought of this morning. Seriously, I had the pleasure. It's been about 12 months since I first sat in the studio with you.
Yeah,
and look at how much we've developed, right? Exactly, and that was all just surrendering to, okay, let's do this. And generosity and a bond and a connection, right? And every time there's another opportunity, it's like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Rather than saying, no, I have to stay on the structure. No, this is not part of the plan. There's having the plan, and then there's also building in time for the unplanned. Because we know this, right? Our brains like certainty, but if things stay certain too long like this, we get bored. That's why there's uncertainty in life, right? So
I know we talked about, I want to get into hardships that some people might be going through right now.
Sure.
How everybody knows that when shit is hard, it's the Einstein theory, right? Like, you know, touch a hot stove, you know, like 1 second feels like forever, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're going through something really hard, one day feels like one fucking year. Yeah. Like it feels like just a huge amount of pain, right? And I know that you and I, we've had a conversation earlier this week where we were talking about certain people's situations. And this show is not about sharing specific names. It's just, it's sharing the situations because I honestly still believe that everybody's going through the exact same thing. So you can relate to it, right? And a lot of them are thinking, I don't know how to fucking get out of this. I don't know how to get ahead of it. I don't know how to survive it. I don't know. And what you and I, when we were talking, what we came up with is that it's crumbs. It's tiny little wins, like extremely small, small wins, right? So if every day you can have one little good thing happen, it's going to contribute to all that bad that's happening in your life, right? And so you got to focus on that one little fucking crumb of goodness, right? And then take it to the next day and then find another crumb and right. another one and another one. Before you know it, you've had a year where a lot of little, doesn't matter how fucking small, a lot of little good things have happened. Even though this big, major bad thing is happening, i.e. it could be financial losses, it could be separation, it could be anything, it could be loss of life, it could be all these dramatic things, right? So it's like there's still some goodness there, right? And you got to really focus on those ones, I think. It's hard. It's really hard, though. But you get a lot of people reach out and they start talking about, yeah, suicide comes up, not sure about what to do now. And you're going to, unfortunately, hear about this shit. You're getting a group of tradespeople that have been on social media for the last 15 years, heavy probably for the last 10 years, have been so mind adjusted on what the realities are based on social media. And then they're going to start going through life where they're going to get to our age, my age, right? And they may not know how to handle it. They won't know how to understand, okay, the whole world is stepping on you right now. I get it. Trust me. It feels like this fucking huge foot stepping on you right now. But when you look at it that way, guess what? Thousands of people didn't wake up this morning. You were one of them that did wake up. I get it. Someone's stepping on you, but you woke up today. So you got an opportunity to do something good. Whether that's say hello, good morning to somebody, compliment somebody, something positive, let somebody in traffic, whatever, something good. Doesn't matter. All that shit's happening still. You still woke up and you still have a day ahead of you that somebody else doesn't.
Yeah.
There's value in that.
Big time.
Right? So it's just like, yeah, sure. You're going through, you know, economical strain, you're going through, you know, relationship hardships. Talk it out. Be the bigger person. Just like fucking, I'm here for you. Whatever. Simple as that, right? I know a lot of trades people want to say, I'm here for you. And you want to listen to them. I get it. I understand all that. But I think for the most part, a lot of people want to just have a glimmer of an idea of what they could possibly do to get out of this situation. I really believe that. I think listening, just listening to somebody isn't enough. And I'm not saying that you start becoming this teacher and saying, here's A to Z that you have to do. This is what's going to solve your fucking life, because that's bullshit. That's not going to happen, right? But if you can listen and genuinely just say to them, come up with one tiny fucking microscopic good thing to do today, that will help you.
Starting point.
Yeah, I honestly believe that, right? So I mean, there's people that have been reaching out to me last year ready to suicide, ready to confront it and solve the situation that way. This year they're different, which is a great thing to hear. There's other people, unfortunately, I can't get a hold of, and you start to worry.
Of course you do.
But as you get older, people will have health problems. You're going to hear about so-and-so, and then all of a sudden people are going to pass, whether it's on the job site, off the job site. People are going to have illnesses, right? So it's like you need to, this goes back to the whole struggle, you know, and this generation is not prepared for all this stuff. You have to start preparing for this shit. A lot of this younger generation are not going through that because their parents are still around. Whether they spend time with their parents just at family functions, which means holidays, or if they're actually more better as a child to see them every single week or even call them every single fucking day. It's that whole thing about in your phone, that contact name that comes up on your screen that says mom or dad, you're not going to see that one day. That number is going to be erased one day. Nobody thinks about this shit. They only think about it when it happens. So that's where I go back to, nobody plans it and everyone's reacting.
Yeah. I think you touched on something tremendously important. Our brains are wired to go to the negative. So what do we do? What do? We stack the bad. Poor me, poor this, poor that, fuck this, could have, should have. When, instead of stacking the bad, I challenge and say, like, what happens when you start to stack the good? I'm talking literally taking 2 minutes to connect your brain to your heart. Like, our heart beats 100,000, I think it's 100,000 times a day without us even thinking about it, right?
Oh, we'd think about it if it stopped.
Right? And so it's like, just think of even the small little things. Like, I had an opportunity to drive in today, right? I had an opportunity to take a warm shower today. Right. And it's not a comparison of like a comparison of less than, it's a just for a moment in time, stack the good. Because we know that our attention goes where our energy flows. So if we're going to have our attention on, shit, I got to make a buck. And listen, I mean, I'm not talking. I have these same struggles. I'm a human being too. Like, there's a lot, except that, I would say the difference is to do the work. I believe in people, having the right people around me. I know when to lean in. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes I just don't even want to talk about it either. And that's okay. As long as you don't wallow down there. Because that's where it gets rough when you hang out there.
It does.
Can you take time and not talk about it? Sure. Can you take time to reflect on however you reflect on it, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's whatever your flavor is. Sometimes for me, it's floating in a sensory deprivation, sometimes listening to music. I don't like, there's walking. If you ever try walking backwards, it's very different, right? Purposefully walking backwards.
And you should, by the way. It's actually, right?
It's very, very different, because you have to, all of a sudden, whatever I was thinking about before, now I'm thinking about, holy shit.
Uphill backwards. is really beneficial.
And it's not, I'm not here to beat on a chest to say this is the right way to do it. I'm saying find what works, but staying in the space of, this is where I'm at today. This is the way life's going to be. It's literally going to kill us.
Isn't it funny though, Jonathan, that everybody, especially in construction now, I think a lot of the younger generation, they don't want to be old trades. They are not, that might be the one thing that they're planning not to be. They respect the older trades like Jim Carrick. They respect these people because of the knowledge that they have, but they do not want to be 60 years old swinging a hammer.
Right.
They want to be entrepreneurs. And they want to be hugely financially successful and secure, mid-30s to late-30s at the max, right? Definitely not even in their 40s. They want to be just like running a business. That's as simple as that, right? But then there's that argument about how, who's really happier? That millionaire that's achieved all these things, that's probably gone through 2 or 3 divorces, who's getting to see their kids once or twice a year or some shit like that? Or the person who's making $100,000 a year, providing for their family, has their family, sees their family every single day, talks to them, interacts with them, giggles with them. Like, who's really fucking happy? The guy with all the money or the guy with all the life? There's no amount of money that can give you more life. Right? Mm-hmm. So I think you should focus on building your life instead of building your wealth. I think that's more important.
Oh my gosh, this, and I'm embarrassed. I can't remember who actually originated the quote, but it's on my friend's wall, and it means so much in my life, and it even ended up in the book that I wrote. But it was, the quote is, never get so busy, never get so busy building a life that, I can't remember now. Excuse me. Never get too busy in your job to forget about building your life. And I just butchered the quote, but it's such a beautiful quote. All of what you just say is like, there's two different philosophies, and it's not an or. It's not like you have to do this or this. What if it's an and? What if it's, I get to build a life and have a career?
The career, I think, should be secondary. Yeah. But everybody, I think, is driven by it making it the primary, right? Everybody right now, it's a little unfortunate. Like, I'm not one to share a lot of personal on my social media.
Sure.
Right? I've shared some personal on the show here, but I'm finding a lot of people And it, you know what? All hats to them. They want to do that. That's fine. That's who they are. It's fine. They're showing off toys. They're showing off wealth. They're showing off things that they've done, which is accomplishment. It's great. It's wonderful. But I would just encourage them to take a lesson from the older trades. They don't do that. They just never have. There's no interest in doing it. You know what they do? They'll go hang out with their friends.
Yeah.
And they're on that toy. They're with that toy. And they're hanging out with their friends and their toys. And then they're having these great conversations, right? Early in my construction career, I always liked interacting, especially with the kids, not having kids, but I connected with the kids. I always joked because I was a fucking big kid at myself, right? So I would always come up with these ideas, and the clients were always surprised that, you don't have kids and you keep on coming up with these ideas. I go, well, listen, it's nice to keep in mind in a kid's frame of mind.
Sure.
At any age, right? Because it just makes you look at the world differently. So a lot of kids, parents were asking me to come up with like little ideas here and there. And it all started with like, well, we want to build a little reading nook here because our daughter's a huge reader. She wants to read. So then I ended up coming up with this whole idea with this reading nook. And then there was a quote that I came across, and I can't remember. I got to find the photo. This is a long time ago. But then I went to a decal place and I got the quote produced, and then I put it on the wall.
Oh, cool.
I think it was a Winnie the Pooh quote. I can't remember exactly what it was, right? But the kid, she loved it. She was like, this is the best part of this whole rental. This little quote here, right? And then I did the same thing for my own place in the laundry room, and I came across a quote that's actually extremely fitting for construction. And the quote is, some of the most memorable days have the dirtiest clothes.
Beautiful.
So it was fitting for a laundry room. But the truth is, yeah, when your clothes are dirty. When we were kids, you fall off the bike and you got mud all over it. Like you put a tear, you went and you baseball, soccer, all this, you played sports. There was always grass stains. You know, maybe there was puke because you threw up or something like that. Like, and as an adult, as a tradesperson, you get all kinds of dirt and material all over your, and I'm like, some of the most memorable moments in your life involve dirty clothes.
Yeah. I love it. It resonates so deep.
Yeah. I was like, it was such a simple thing. And I thought, yeah, I'll go to the decal guy, sign place. I go, here's the size of it. This is the length of it. And then he gives it to me. It's no different than a decal that you would just put on a regular sign in an establishment, a business, right? And you put it right on drywall. And it's there. And that was it. And I did that for a few of my clients, right? Because I always came up with, I understood who the kid was. I understood where the kid was coming from. And I can only imagine what you could do now with Marvel and DC and all this other shit. You can come up with certain things, or it's just, I think it adds a little bit of a connection.
It didn't matter. The point is you connected. Whether it's DC, Marvel, maybe the kid's not even into that stuff. I don't know. But what you did do was you were able to connect with that family.
Yeah.
At a level that.
And they love it.
And they loved it. And everything resonates from there. It's the experience you create.
Yeah.
Not the work.
I love seeing tradespeople personalize their vehicles. Like, it's so refreshing after 15 years that the construction industry has evolved to the point where it's not a magnetic sign on the side of the white truck, right? It's more graphic designed oriented, right? And all of a sudden, I also like seeing little details on that vehicle that are a reflection of the person who drives that vehicle or the business that's been built. That says a lot about that person. I've always loved that. And that's probably one of the better things about social media engagement is people were coming up with unique ways of presenting themselves. You know what I mean? In an image, in a cartoon, in a caricature, like anything like that. And I was like, I love that. That's amazing the way that works, right?
Isn't it? To me, it's a warm connection. If, you know, you're into Marvel and I see Captain America. Okay, well now I know that you're into Captain America. Cool, let's have a conversation about it. And then guess what? A great conversation could occur.
Yep.
Might not. Here's the thing. We live in a world where this is what shows up. So I say it's like a me first. You come into conversations, people are always looking to take from you. What can I get out of, what can I get at having a conversation with Manny? You know, what can he do for me?
Yeah.
When you and I have talked about this many times, but it's never about that. Like, if you approach it and say, how can I give? What can I give to this person?
Yeah.
Without any expectations of reciprocity. And if reciprocity occurs, cool. And if it doesn't, that's okay too.
I had Sergey from Homestars Roofing. He reached out to me over the weekend, and he came up with an idea of doing a tradesperson barbecue, but barbecue slash car wash. And this is all his idea. He threw it at me, and I loved it. And he was like, let's try to coordinate a weekend that we can tell a bunch of Facebook groups of clients that there's going to be 20 plus tradespeople washing their car. And the objective is that they're going to wash it for free, but we want the homeowners to interact with the tradespeople. And if they're looking for that particular trade to do some work around their house, get their card and hire them and do the job. And it was a networking idea that he came up with that would potentially get work for a lot of tradespeople that are not currently working right now. And all we would have to do is give up a Sunday or a Saturday and wash people's cars. And as you're washing the car, you'd be like, I'm a licensed electrician. This is what I focus on. I can come over to your house and take care of soffit lights if you really needed to. I can do an upgrade panel for 100 amp to 200 amp. That's what it was all about. You have about 5-10 minutes to wash the person's car, and then you just sell yourself. And I thought, that was a fucking great idea.
So it's the trades folks washing the people's cars. That's cool.
Like, I thought it was great. So I'm like, let's try to figure out how we can do this, right? I want to try to figure out how we can do this and then try to get as many homeowners as possible to come by to get their cars washed. And then they'll get to meet tradespeople in person. And then they'll be like, well, I need this done. Yeah. And I need this done. Can I get your card? Can I DM you right now? Sure. While you're waiting to get your card, I'll DM you.
You're debunking a whole bunch of stigmatisms there. You're connecting people.
It's a great idea. It could be an annual thing. It could be a monthly thing, right? Because I think it would totally work. So I think it's really about trying to get back to the fire pit. Like, it's trying to get back to just simple things. And those things will help your complicated life.
Yeah.
Because everybody, you know this, they probably, I think these days, you know how it used to be, we never dread Mondays. We're all excited and pumped to come to the job site and get the job done. But when life or the job or both starts to go south, we dread the Mondays. We don't want to be there. And I think today there's a lot of days that a lot of tradespeople are dreading Mondays. They might be presenting everything's fucking good online. Everything's great. Let's go get it. It's Monday. Let's have a hard week. Let's do it. But we don't really know what's going on.
No, but see, and there's something that sort of twists me the wrong way, and I challenge it amongst myself sometimes too. It's, what is it with this? All I hear all the time is, you got to keep grinding, you got to keep grinding, you got to keep grinding, you got to keep grinding. You know, a part of me says, yes, because there's no vein in my body that's lazy. So yes, I want to go out and get it. And also realize that we're not robots and machines. Cannot grind all the time at full intensity. It doesn't work that way, folks.
Candle.
But you open up social media and it's like, keep grinding, keep grinding, keep grinding. Till what? You fucking burn out? Till you can't stand up? Till you hurt yourself because you're physically exhausted, mentally exhausted? And I mean, that gets back to, it's like, sometimes it's take the fucking out. You've talked about it. I've talked about it. Sometimes it's just like, take the fucking afternoon. Go pick the weeds out of your garden. I don't give a shit what you do.
Even if you're that go-to great, like that guy you were talking about, and what's going on, what's going on. But then what are you doing for yourself? Like, sometimes you got to fucking take a day. There's been plenty of times where I've been on the job site and I'm like, I'm walking off, man. I'm stepping off. I'm disappearing. Done. The phone is off right now. If anything fucking traumatic happens, just let me know. But I'm pretty sure you guys as a group here of adults could figure it out. Even if the place is fucking burning down, you could figure it out.
Well, this is the biggest thing too. I talked to a lot of small, medium-sized business owners. It's like, I can't do that. People need me.
What happens, you can do that.
What happens the day you're not there, man?
Yeah, you can do that. You should do that.
You got to set the boundaries and expectations, because there's going to be a time in your life where you might be at a hospital. You might be somewhere where you're physically have no cell phone service, physically cannot. Like, holy shit, then what?
I tell that to people all the time when they end up in hospital. I always say, you can't do what you do for a living if you're in a casket. I don't care who you are. You can't. So if you keep on doing things that are making you get closer to that casket, then you need to reevaluate things. You should be doing as many things as possible to avoid the casket. You know what I'm saying? Like, prolong that day as best you possibly can. So if you grind Monday to Friday every year in and out, and it's just getting you closer and closer to the point where you start seeing the casket on the horizon, then you need to reevaluate. I think so.
Yeah.
And that's where I argue about the whole, you know, the millionaire versus the life guy. There's a huge difference there. So what? He's got a bunch of toys. How many toys have you purchased in your life that when you finally got the toy, the shiny good feeling of it disappeared really fucking quickly? Like, it disappears really quickly. And toys for construction are different because they're providing a service and you're making money off of them. But even those toys, when they first come out of that box and they're brand new and you're using it for the first time, you forget about it real quick too.
Absolutely.
So it's like, toys are good, but toys are not the end and be all of anything. So it's accomplishments, I think, are far more important.
Yeah.
Achieving things.
Well, and acknowledging them.
Yeah.
Acknowledging
what you went through.
Right. Again, we go back to what we don't do. It's like, if you look back, we underestimate what we can do. Right. We're like, oh shit, I should be doing this. But just peel back for a moment. Like, let's take a little bit of a deeper dive. What have we accomplished in the past 12, you know, never mind 12 months. Scale it back. 3 months, 90 days. You know, like, 90 days flies by fast, and yet we can achieve so much in 90 days. We underestimate what we do. And then it's like, never good enough. Well, you know, we make all these stories. I could have done more. Buddy, you could have fucking, sure.
We're going into July. I bet you any money for the first 6 months of this year, the economical strain that's going on in the construction industry right now is front and center on everybody's conversation.
Yeah,
I know it. They're all worried about what the next 6 months are going to be like. They're all worried about what next year is going to be about. And yeah, when you ride a motorcycle, the first lesson they teach you is look where you want to go. If you start veering off and just looking at the ditch or looking at the side of the road, that's where you're going to end up going.
Got it.
So always look where you want to go. I go back to the plan and be proactive, right? So if you guys keep on talking about how hard the first 6 months of 2024 has been, and you're worried about what the next 6 months of 2024 are going to be like, you're already designing disaster. Just start figuring out new ways of doing things that you're good at.
Yeah. And when you talk about plan, actually, this is both personally and professionally now,
yeah,
right?
It's like, 100%. Because it's a yin yang. They totally connect both of them. What happens at home happens at the job site. What happens at the job site happens at home.
But you got to plan. Like, look, I want to celebrate Christmas with my wife, right? If something's going on today, again, I love what you said, plan it. So 6 months from now, rather than saying, shit, I don't know what the next 6 months are going to be like, let's envision that. What do you want? First thing, that's one thing human beings, we have a tough time deciding what the hell we want.
You got the whole world to decide. So just like, pick what you want.
Right? The market.
They have a hard time designing. You know why? Because they don't think that they deserve it.
Yes.
They don't think they deserve it. So then why am I asking for it? I go, then fucking take it.
Yeah. Who the hell am I to ask for that? Well, who the hell are you not to ask for that?
I think a lot of people are missing opportunities, right? So thanks so much for bringing the eggs, because I'm fucking big on eggs these days. I don't give a shit about anybody I don't listen to the government and tell me what to eat or what not to eat. I'm like, I'm eating eggs that are from chickens that I know of, right? And I do the same thing with Gary from Mayor's Carpentry, which is amazing. And the best part of me getting together with him once a week to go get the eggs is not about getting the eggs. It's about having a little glass of port.
Mm.
And we just shoot the shit of what's currently going on. That's all we do. We just shoot the shit. Hour, sometimes 2 hours later, I'm finally leaving with the eggs, right? But it's really about, in all fairness, it's like 2 or 3 glasses of port, right? Depending on the situation. But it's just like, it's really about that engagement. That, I think, is what's missing from a lot of tradespeople's lives these days. I think they're missing. If I was a minister of labor, I would implement that every Friday, you have some sort of beverage at the end of the workday. you decide whether there's alcohol or not, and there's no fines will be issued because right. the job site is done. That's one of my first things that I would do for being a minister of labor, because the cause and effect of that outweighs the stigma associated with society on that.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you start drinking while you're working. I'm saying while the work is completed and the week is done and everybody's provided for the site and for their families, share a beverage with a coworker and make that friend a good friend.
Yep. It's
that's what I'm talking about.
There's a responsibility
about.
There, right?
Yes.
You're using, it can be whatever the hell you want it to be. You choose the flavor, folks. Right? But that makes it fun. And we talk about getting people into the industry, keeping people in the industry. It's about
Nobody's
connection.
Talking about that. Nobody's
it's about the connection.
If I was training anybody to get into the industry, I'd be saying that. That's exactly what it, if you ever get an opportunity to start a construction business, make that a mandatory deal on yours. You know, casual Fridays, whatever it is, right?
When you connect with it, it's the connection.
That's the reason why.
I love what you talk about, even with the port. Like, it's not about the eggs or the port. It's about the connection. Because you understand what's going
it's
on in his life.
That comes he understands, out of that.
Yeah, something organically is going to show up and you're going to be driving, walking, doing whatever you're doing. Like, holy shit, Gary said this, right? Or Gary's like, oh, now I understand what
you
Manny's
never
talking
know
about.
What you might problem solve with somebody else.
Meanwhile,
the problem is that everyone is watching TV life and there's only one channel and it's all about economical strain. That's all they're fixated
on. And how to make $1 million fast. Like, here's how to do it.
Well, those are the two flip-flops of both sides, right? The extremes, and it's just bullshit. Like, nothing ever, if you got it fast, it ain't going to stay. Simple as that, right? So if you worked really hard for it, then you'll have it for a long, long time. And that includes the friendships that you build through construction, off construction, whatever it is, with clients. Like, it's all part of that shit, right?
I think there's a big misconception that sometimes gets misunderstood as well, is that, you get out what you put in, right? And I love what you said, anything that came fast ain't sustainable, right? It's the years, it's the effort, it's the intentionality behind.
Well, that's how the guys that have been in the business for 3+, 4+, 5+ decades, that's how they've survived, right? I mean, in fairness, it's all changing nowadays. It's more difficult now. But there is some hope on the horizon, so to speak, with the changing of the government, with bullshit. There's a lot. And start preparing for all that shit. Start planning for all that shit, right? But I think that if you got together with good friends, be very particular about them, and you started hanging out with each other and you help somebody else as they help you out on a weekly basis, you will not dread that Monday as much as you're dreading it today.
Yeah, I love it.
I feel pretty confident that you will not dread it. You'll be engaged in wanting to do it again the following weekend and the next weekend. And before you know, the summer's come and gone and you've had so many really stimulating conversations and you've learned so much from other people and you've helped out people and people have helped out you. And we know how tough it is for tradespeople to accept help.
Even ask for help, yeah.
Even ask for help. We know how difficult it is. So if you can mask it with a act of kindness of contributing your skill set towards their family, still help. You didn't ask. They didn't suggest, but they did. Right? And it stuff got done.
It's beautiful. Like, doesn't it, and it goes through my mind, is doesn't it build sustainability? That's what's kept humans alive for centuries.
Yeah.
Is working in tribes, working together,
yeah.
Helping each other out.
Yeah.
Not taking.
But right now, I think everybody is just holding their cards really tight with everybody and just worried about, okay. But like you said, they're geared towards the negativity. Like, they just, something happened to me this week where I thought there was like a no hope kind of situation, certain things. And all of a sudden I discovered that it was nowhere near that. Like, it wasn't that. So it's like, you know that. I don't know who said that recently, where it's like 90% of the thoughts in our heads are all about things that never happen. So I was like, I was assuming this was going to happen this way, but it didn't go that way. Mm. It went actually positively. And I was like, well, fuck, that's just ridiculous. Because for the last month, I've been thinking this. And that's not the truth of it. It's actually been this, which is actually better. So I'm not perfect, but I mean, I go through the exact same situations that everybody else is going through.
But what shifted for you after you realized that? Like, what did you learn out of that scenario?
I just learned that I can't continue going towards the negative all the fucking time. I can't. Right? And I think walking early in the morning and walking late in the evening after dinner, like, no music. I just listen to and I see. And you're grateful that I can still hear, even though I got tinnitus, right? I can still hear, though. I can still see. I can still breathe. I can still walk unassisted. Like, I'm doing pretty good compared to a lot of people that maybe had an accident in traction, in the hospital, you know, like suffering painfully, whatever. So it's like, I'm not wishing that you get into that situation. I'm just saying that don't forget about the little good things that you do have going on in your life.
May I ask about the walking for a moment?
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. And you know, maybe the audience out there might serve them well too. Like, when you go for your walks, what's it like? Like, what do you do? What's your routine?
I pay attention to nature.
So you said you're not listening to music, you're not listening to anything.
I pay attention to nature. I look at how green certain trees are. I pay attention to other homes.
Sure.
I pay attention to what people have done to their homes. I can't stand white garages. I just can't stand them. I think they're too loud. It's like a white piece of paper. It's too bright. I compliment homes that I think certain people have done little unique things. There's like, there's one homeowner, he built this little wood kind of swing bench that probably is a little too small for Frodo, but he's got flowers in it. And I was like, you know what? I could totally fucking build that one weekend, like, and paint it. And like, that's actually, I look at it like, okay, there's a little project I could possibly do. I pay attention to people, just what little things they're doing for their gardens. I say hello to a bunch of fucking squirrels and rabbits. For some weird reason, recently, rabbits don't veer off. You know, like most times when you get too close to a rabbit,
yeah, they take off.
I'm literally walking like a foot away from a rabbit and they're not moving, man. They're not going anywhere. I'm not a threat. I don't stare at them. I don't jump at them. I don't startle them. I just literally walk by them and I'm like, okay, then there you go. It's like, it's almost like I'm in a fucking Disney movie, you know, way before the bullshit. And it's like the animals are fine. They're just doing their fucking thing. Squirrels are gathering up all their nuts and shit like that. Rabbits are fucking eating all kinds of greens here and there. I see plenty of rabbits in my backyard and shit like that. So it's just, I pay attention to my surroundings. I pay attention to cracked concrete. I pay attention to cracked pavement. I pay attention to, you know, damaged curbs. I just pay attention. I start noticing a bunch of shit
that you would never noticed.
I know for a fact to build a fence on a 6-foot panel or an 8-foot panel is the worst way to build a fence. I look at fences that were built a year or two ago, already twisting, splitting, falling apart because they're built on a 6 or 8 foot panel section. And I'm like, it's the worst way to fucking build a fence. But marketing, Home Depot, social media has designed people to design fence and build fences that way. I think it's 100% wrong. Then there's only one homeowner in the area that has built the fence the way I think it should be built. And it looks fucking stunning. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I just pay attention. I look at, you know, you take a look at planes. Like today, this morning, I saw a plane. I saw the whole belly of the plane. It was odd. You know, sometimes you don't see, the belly was on the perspective of my view when, sure, I was looking up, right? It wasn't straight up. It was on an angle. So it must have been banking a certain angle, but it was a big fucking plane. And I saw that whole belly underneath there, right? And then I was like, that's interesting. I didn't see that before. That's kind of interesting. So I pay attention to my surroundings. I do that. I used to do that all the time on the job site. I would always just be quiet, be on the job site, and pay attention to my surroundings. Those moments were the best moments for me to come up with solutions for problems that were already arising and the clients or trades were asking me to solve it. And with a clear head and a clear vision, I was able to pay attention to how to solve it. And then I would contribute my thought. And then it'd be yay or nay at that point. But at least it got me to a point where you can clearly think about what to do next.
It's beautiful.
That's how I look at it. So it's very, I encourage anybody to do it. It's a five kilometer walk. It takes 40 minutes, right? It's just like 40 minutes, man. 80 minutes of the day. It gets you in a different state.
So, and you know, and I think the last thing is just to touch on that is you build it in. Like where people say, man, I don't have 80 minutes. Make time.
Then wake up earlier and do
it. Yeah. We make time for the things that are important to us in life. That's important to you. Look at what you just talked about. You said you're abundantly present and clear with what's going on. And the ripple effect of that sort of came out as you were talking is that you problem solve. Right? You were walking on a job site and some of your best thoughts or solutions to problems came after that presence, after that walk, after that whatever it is.
You know when you don't solve the problems is when you just run and gun and keep on doing it. And I've seen tradespeople do that. They just keep on working. They have to keep moving. They have to keep going. And then they'll just do it the way they subconsciously think it needs to be done. But then they didn't really solve it. They just did it exactly the same way they just done it before, which maybe really didn't improve the situation. We don't know. But it's okay to take a break, pull over. I've joked before on this show where every car I've ever owned, I've always done this. I purposely run out of fucking gas. Hmm. And it's nice to eventually get to the point where you have an auto club so they can come and give you gas, right?
Sure.
But I've done it so then I could pull over and now I'm physically stuck. I have to wait for somebody to bring me fuel. And then the music's not on. You're sitting there and you have clear thoughts and you're just thinking about what to do next. So like how many times you drive as a kid and you're getting into a car and you're wondering, okay, so what happens when you run out of gas? Like does it grr, 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 like it just starts to fucking die like that? Yeah, so you just like, why don't you find out?
Yeah.
Be in the safe lane, be in the curb lane, be ready to veer off the highway or the road or whatever, knowing that this is going to happen. You know you're getting to the very end of that tank, right? So you prepare for all that shit, but then now you get to a safe spot and you're totally bone dry tank. And now you've got a good half hour to an hour to yourself while you wait for fuel to come to you. It's a good exercise to do, seriously.
You know, and I'm so curious on what modern day vehicles are like because every, you know.
I did it with diesel. I've done it with my current car. I've done it with all the cars I've ever had.
So diesel's even different because then you got to reprime
diesel, it. Well, the Sprinters are they're good. The way that the older diesels would have been a major headache, right?
Yeah.
I've even done it with my motorcycle. Like you just like, it's almost like you're forcing yourself to pause. You have to pause now, right? So like you either get out and start walking or you call and you make the phone call to get the tank of gas, like 10 liters.
You're also forcing yourself, especially in the beginning, to become uncomfortable. That's very unorthodox and going against every single grain.
Yeah.
Until it's not. I mean, you're talking about it now where it's like, no, this is a regular thing for me with vehicles in my life. But the first few times, I don't even know what it's like even now, but the first few times it must have been like, what the hell am I doing this for?
No, but then you started, windows are down. If it's summertime, you're hearing birds, you're hearing nature. So it's just like, okay, fine. So what? 45 minutes. And you speak to the auto club and they go, could be about an hour. Not a problem at all. Let me know. Don't worry. I'm here. I'm right here. I'm in a safe place. I'm good. It's fine. Sometimes it's okay to do that. I remember being a kid in my late teens with a friend. He used to work at Thrifty Car Rental?
Yeah.
So I would help most come by sometimes and we'd have to wash the fucking vehicles and clean the vehicles and all this other shit. And sometimes you have to drive the vehicles to other places and deliver them and all this other shit. So we would be in two guys in one vehicle to go pick up another vehicle, right? So then we'd be just looking at each other and we were both shit disturbers like that. And he would look at me and I would look at him and we would both kind of think to ourselves, what happens if you're on the highway and you put this in neutral or you put it in reverse? Right. And I was like, I don't fucking know. Even before you finish saying, I don't fucking know, he's already putting his hand into reverse. And all you hear is this engine just like make this sound that's not really good. And then he puts it right back into drive and you keep on going. And you're like going, okay, yeah. And then you deliver it to the person. They're like, okay, everything good with the car? I'm going, perfect. Car's perfect. Sometimes you just should do something that you're not so used to doing.
Which is, and thank you.
Without hurting somebody.
Of course.
Without hurting somebody.
Of course. You can, right. Again, this is sort of like full circle. Plan. You've planned for this to do it in an appropriate manner, yet you have to do something that's unorthodox and uncomfortable, which every sort of buzzer in our society says, don't do that. You're conditioned and programmed to follow the script in this manner.
I think it's good that a lot of people start to question their daily routines. Like you should question it. I'm not saying get rid of the exercise. I'm not saying get rid of the eating healthy. I'm not saying any of that shit. Spending time with family, all that stuff. I'm not saying any of that shit. I'm just saying question the day-to-day that's consuming your life.
Right.
question that and figure out if you can alter that script a tiny bit.
Mm.
And then that could possibly turn into a bigger alteration that will benefit you and your loved ones in your family, right? Which I think it will. You could probably think it's selfish or whatever, but I don't give a fuck.
But you don't know what you don't know until you do.
Yeah.
So how else are you going to know?
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap it up?
Oh, I think we covered a lot today. I think that there's always a ton more to talk about. And, you know, there's lots of time and space to do so, right? I think that the biggest... There were some, you know, nuggets of gold that we talked about today that if it lands on one person, then, like you said, job well done, man. We impact one person.
And anybody who wants to reach out to yourself or myself. And then obviously your notes, your contact information is always on the show notes and same with mine. And I've always given up my phone number and anybody can fucking text me. Just let me know and who you are. And so then I get an idea because if I don't recognize the number and usually if I don't recognize the number and all I see is hi and I don't see my name on it, I'm deleting it.
Of course.
Like I just like if you're reaching out to me, then you pretty much know who my name is and you got my number that way.
Yeah.
So you should at least say, hi, Manny. Hey, Manny, or whatever. And then I'll read the message at that point. But I'm definitely encouraging anybody who might be. Listen, you and I both know that we haven't figured it out. It's a constant fucking. We'll be in our caskets figuring it out still. Like it's just that's life. Right. Simple as that. So all we're doing is we're trying to help out where we can. Simple as that. We know the troubles you're going through. Trust me, we've gone through fucking shit and we're still going through shit. And I'm anticipating more shit to happen.
Yeah.
Right? But then you just deal with that shit. One shit at a fucking time. Simple as that. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, Manny. It's been a pleasure.
All right. We're out of here, man.